Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to the Along Came a Writer Network. Opinions expressed in our shows do not necessarily reflect those of the network. Welcome to the Along Came a Writer talk show. I'm Linda Kozar, your host, and tonight's theme is a love story theme featuring a dear author friend who deserves to live out the kind of love stories she writes about in her romances. And today I'll be interviewing a gaggle of my friends, among them the object of this talk show, authorist extraordinaris, Kathleen Barbo Turner, and her husband, Robert Turner. I think we're going to coax him onto the show to tell his side of the story. We're hoping anyway. And also authors Janice Thompson, Danelle Woody, and Sharon Watson. So first of all, I'm going to ask each woman to say hi. Janice isn't with us yet, but I'm sure she will. She will come in at some point. So I'm going to introduce you and you can just say hi so that you can distinguish the voices because there's going to be a lot of talking. So Kathleen and Barbo Turner, hello.
Hi. Yes, there's going to be a lot of talking. There always is when we get together, isn't there?
Yes. And this is about your love story to your husband, Robert Turner, because we were all kind of a part of it. People might be wondering, why are they doing this show? Well, we think we're a part of it. Robert Turner may not think he's a part of it, but we were a part of it, but we were. I tell you.
Definitely were.
Yeah. And next, Danelle Woody. Hi, Danelle.
Hi.
She promises to be good. And Sharon Watson.
Hi, I am so happy we're doing this. I have been so excited.
And to explain, we are a bunch of friends who have group text. You know, we keep in touch on a daily basis all day. And then, but we also go way back. And I'm going to share first how I first met Kathleen. I was doing some newspaper reporting for the Villager, a local newspaper where we live. And I interviewed some woman about a children's book called Just in Time. And she and her husband also did like fountains, like I'm talking about Las Vegas kind of fountains. You know, they did the computer kind of thing. Well, anyway, maybe I was trusting or maybe this was God, but she said, hey, jump in my car and let's go to my author friend's house. I mean, she could have murdered me. I wouldn't know. But for some reason, I hopped in her car and I went with her and I found myself at Kathleen and Barbo's home in the Woodlands and met the nicest woman. And she talked about this book she wrote. Is that how you remember it, too?
It is. And by the way, she had a really nice car. So, you know, there was that. It is.
She did.
And I remember I was so nervous.
because this was a reporter. And up until that point, I think I had written a couple, this was my first children's book, but I'd written a couple of, romance novels for the Christian market, and that was about it. So I was used to being behind the computer and not in front of it answering questions. So you were terrifying to me.
Oh, if only you knew it was just little old me, like.
Well, I know
you
that
wouldn't have been frightened at all.
No, you can be
and
terrifying.
I was scared. Well, I was scared because I didn't know if you guys were going to murder me. But then I was okay.
Oh.
Okay, so let's talk with, Danelle and then Sharon. Tell us how you and Kathleen met.
Well, I was trying to remember. I think I met you at one of the writers' briefs early on, and I feel like I've known you forever. I mean, how many years has it been? Is it like 15?
Well, we tried to figure that out, and we just figured out we've always known each other.
I think so. I think we're related. We're going to figure it out,
so. They're probably long-lost cousins.
And I felt like I was knew forever when you met her. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Okay, and Sharon.
Oh my goodness. Again, it seems like we have just known each other our whole lives. And I think we met in 2003 sometime. And I know that I had come to the library with Janice Thompson. And we came there to meet you for something, although I'm not quite sure what it was, but it was, I think it was after you spoke there. And so we met you and we just, she introduced me to you. And I believe she introduced me to you because I was just beginning Words for the Journey Christian Writers Guild at that point. And she introduced me to you as a potential speaker for my group. And Linda Kozar and I both led Words for the Journey Christian Writers Guild. And I was so excited to meet you. I was so nervous. And I just had butterflies because I thought, I'm actually meeting another author. I met Janice and then I met you. And I thought, oh my gosh, I have hit it big.
Well, Sharon, you probably don't know this, but you have the distinction of being the only person to ever give me jewelry the first time I went to lunch with them. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do remember that. Yes.
I would have thought that would have been
Danelle's jewelry. Yeah, it was. It was a magnolia charm that Danelle made. Y'all go to DanelleWoodyDesigns.com. Amazing jewelry.
Wow.
And
guess who's here now? We have Janice, author Janice Thompson. Completing
Yay.
The circle.
Hey guys.
Hello, Janice.
Hi.
We're talking about how we first met Kathleen. So you have to share your story about how you first met Kathleen.
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday. Only it probably wasn't. It was probably many, many lifetimes ago.
We were children.
Children. So I was invited to join a small critique group with three other authors and myself, and Diane Mills invited me to join. And when I showed up that very first day, there was Kathleen Ibarbo, and I remember stumbling over her last name, and stumbling. I was like, are you sure the Y is silent? I mean, like, are you really sure? Because my temptation was I wanted to call her Ibarbo.
Yes.
Make a big deal out of the Y part. But I met Kathleen and Martha Rogers on that day, and we would meet every Wednesday, if I recall. We would meet for lunch, and we would critique a chapter out of each person's manuscript each week, and then we would meet on Wednesdays and talk about what we were learning about the writing craft. And I was just kind of in awe. Sorry, that's my dog barking. We're kind of in awe at these authors that I was able to sit down and have lunch with, because it just seems so, I don't know, kind of like fangirl kind of a thing.
I know what you mean.
Okay,
anyway,
so we figured out how we all met, But now we're going to get personal, and we're going to talk, well, first of all, you know, for an author who writes romance stories, living out a real life romance is a whole different kind of story. It's not like what we write about. Would everyone agree?
Oh, yes.
It's the nitty gritty real life stuff, right? So we want to know how you and Robert Turner, who we call Bobby, how you guys first met. I mean, it was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, right?
It really was. It was, as I recall, somewhere in the 70s. I was just an infant and just happened to be an infant in high school.
Yes, you were a baby.
Yeah, he
baby
was
girl.
Standing outside the journalism room. So actually, he was a writer before I was. He was a journalism guy, and my recollection is the first time I met him, he was selling newspapers, and he also was dating my best friend, and
Ooh.
That's the first time I met him.
Hmm.
I think I didn't even have a driver's license yet. So it was a long time.
Oh, you didn't have a driver's license yet? Yes, ages.
Yeah. So that's where I first met him. And he was I'm sure there's a song in the 80s, but he was my best friend's boyfriend. And I just thought he was absolutely hilarious.
And that was high school, right? That was high school?
And that was high school. And high school. And he still makes me laugh. Port Nature Scrubs High School. Go Indians.
Wow.
I know, it's been a long time. And then we kind of went on hiatus for about 35 years.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. What do you say then? No, we were just friends. We were just friends. And then he was a grade ahead of me in high school, so he graduated. And I lost track of him. And then we found each other.
And you went off to A&M.
Of all things. I did. I went off to A&M. He ended up in the Air Force. And... you know, that was it.
You both married different people and you had kids and a life and all that.
Exactly.
And
yes.
Okay, so now we're going to get to the good stuff.
Okay.
Fast forward 35 years later. You're both divorced. Mm-hmm. You both raised your children. Mm-hmm. And
right.
Now you're at a point where you're living on your own. You're writing, you're working as a paralegal. You drive a Mini Cooper, and I threw that in because I love your wheels.
Thank you.
So the two of you reconnect on social media, and it turns out he's divorced too. So tell us that whole story.
Well, he claims it took him 2 weeks when he first saw the suggested friends thing, you know, that Facebook does, to actually click on that and friend me. But, you know, I saw that he had friended me. I accepted his friend request. And my very first thought, it's still very vivid in my mind, is, oh, gosh, I hope he had a good life. You know, it was one of those things where it's just a smile because, he always made me laugh. And he was a friend and just one of those high school connections that, you know, which doesn't matter if it's male or female. It's very platonic. It was just like, I remember him. I liked him a lot. And so that was pretty much it. And, 4 months later, we were married.
Okay, but wait a minute. You started corresponding on.
I'm not
going to
get away with the short version, am I?
No, you're not. So you started going back and forth on Facebook, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I have a question.
I have a question. Who did the first? Who reached out first?
He did.
Becoming your friend.
He did.
Now
yeah,
becoming
your
okay.
friend.
And, because you're having
one of those, we're looking for romance at this point.
Okay, but we'll have to ask him if he had any thoughts, like even a tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny thought about.
Okay,
like,
you'll have to tell me when you're ready for me to start coercing him to the phone because he just makes.
Okay. Okay. We're gonna hog the first half hour and then we'll have him on.
Yes.
So you're kind of talking back and forth on social media, on like Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how long did
I think he was
on?
Talking to Danelle more than me.
Well, okay, let's Danelle explain that that we all kind of get into this kind of stuff. Okay, somebody explain this, how we are protective friends.
Janelle's kind of a mama bear. Would y'all agree?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Janelle, explain yourself.
Yeah,
now.
She was checking this dude out.
Janelle, are
yeah,
you there?
Explain
yourself.
I'm surprised she didn't do a background check.
Well, she started talking about this guy that she met in high school, and so I immediately, you know, got the name, and then I went to Google and Facebook and everything I could, and
the FBI,
police blotter.
Yeah, I saw that he had some cool kids, and I mean, he was cute, and I thought, you know, that's good, and then, you know, and you know, he was pretty, he fell for her pretty quick. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he was coming after her, man. It was awesome. But, you know, we were also like, hold the phone. You know, just hold on a minute. So I think
there's a man after Kathleen.
Yeah. Right. We weren't so sure. So I think we said we wanted to meet him before
mm-hmm.
we left.
I think you said that. I think you
get involved. Yeah, I set that up because I was like, yeah, no, we want to.
Okay, but before we tell that story, we need to find out how he wound up at your book signing and where that was.
I remember that.
I think that was actually after the story.
It was after the first
yeah.
date.
It was.
Oh,
after
so it was after the
there,
first date. Okay, so let's backtrack because
yeah.
I'm.
And then we kept saying it wasn't a date. It was just dinner.
That's right, and
dinner with daughters.
Okay,
dinner
and I remember.
Right.
Okay, so
you
now,
had dinner with her first, right? Right.
What's that?
With him first.
Yeah, okay. That's
yes.
Right. Okay, Janelle, yes, you organized this dinner, so you tell us about it.
Yes, I made sure that we were...
No, I mean our dinner.
That's right.
Yeah, our dinner, yeah. Well, I made sure that we
our
were
side
be
dinner.
In a public place, you know. Yeah, I wanted to be in a public place, so in case I wanted to, like... get the heck out of Dodge. We did. Where was it? Berry Hill. So it was really crowded.
Or Save Me.
Yeah, it was Berry Hill. Yeah.
We're gonna save me just in case.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I already.
And
had
where
that
were
plan.
You guys
we
eating?
Were gonna
do... Where
we were
you guys
at,
eating?
Tommy Bahamas. We were at
Tommy
right.
Bahamas. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had. So when he walked up, you know, we had him meet us there because we wanted to ask him a bunch of questions. And, you know, he was a little intimidating when he first walked up because, you know, he probably
we didn't expect you guys, and you guys showed up.
That was totally like, his idea too.
Bye.
Oh my gosh. What do you want to get into what we talked about?
I don't know.
We were only there to rescue though. We were not there.
Right, yeah.
We knew we would eventually meet him, but we were there to have dinner
right.
while they had dinner with their daughters because their daughters were with
yes.
them too. So it really was a date, yes, but they had protection. They had their daughters, each of them had
yes,
like
we had our daughters.
Dating.
Yes, and then we were at the restaurant for just in case. And so we
wanted
to make sure that Kathleen was protected, if she needed anything, she could come right to us.
Right.
And so,
right.
That sounds better. That sounds better.
Yeah. But you know what? Yeah. We were ready to protect her. If this guy turned out to be someone not good, we were like, man, we're going to check him out, and if we're going to vet him.
Right.
And we're going to vet this vet.
Miles to get there. Don't forget that part. He drove 500 miles to get there.
Yeah, that is right. I forgot.
I guess he kind of liked you.
Well, maybe.
Maybe a little.
Looking back,
maybe a little.
He was going to high school reunion.
Okay, so we all met him. Why don't you guys say what you first thought of Bobby, you know? like your opinion.
Okay, I thought he was, he was tall. And probably, she called him her hero in combat boots, and I thought, yeah, he definitely was intimidating. But, it was really cool because, he really cared for her. It was obvious that he cared for her. And then we threatened him at that meeting, but we'll get into that later. But I don't remember that. But, he came from Oklahoma, and I didn't like that because, we're Texas. The first thing I thought was, this could get serious, and somebody's gonna be moving.
It wasn't gonna
be Kathleen and my fault. I was like, you can't take her away.
Right.
Well, the airport
has
plans.
So what did you guys think? So what did Sharon and Janice, I know you weren't there, but you can still give your opinion when you first met.
No, I have a whole other story, but I'm going to sit back until they're done.
Okay, and then you'll tell your story.
Sharon
okay. So Sharon, what was your impression, Sharon?
Impression was, can this dinner go any faster because I'm ready to meet this person?
we were
having Mexican food and they were having Tommy Bahamas, which is very, really nice. I mean, ours was nice too, but not Tommy Bahama nice.
So we were having tamales, they were having bougie food.
That's right.
I was having lobster bisque actually. And it's not on the menu there anymore.
Oh. I didn't even know that. I might have come and joined
him. I know.
I still remember.
I liked him. I thought he was pretty cool. I thought, I could see them together. I could, but he better not hurt her. The wrath of God will come after.
That was the thing that I was thinking. Yep. Mm-hmm. I was right there with you, Linda.
Okay, then you tell your story, Janice.
Okay, so my story is radically different from everybody else's.
I feel like Lena should be here.
She should.
I did invite her.
I had a different perspective on that night because I was so scared that if we all showed up, that we were going to intimidate this poor guy and he was going to take off running before this ever had a chance. Because I kind of pictured him as the sweet, subtle type, and he's going to see all these ladies rushing toward him, and it's going to scare him, and it's going to intimidate him, and it's going to make him doubt whether or not we're all sane, for one thing, and then also whether or not Kathleen has sane friendships.
Oh, he's still wondering about that. It's okay.
I'm sure he does.
But that's really, okay. Really, truly, that night, I absolutely refused to go because I said, I will not be a party to sabotaging something that could be truly wonderful for my kids. So I didn't go. And I missed the whole thing. I was just hanging out waiting to hear what everybody else was going to say. And then when I heard how much fun they had and how much fun he was, I was like, well, shoot, I missed it all.
See, I
we all
get
need
a visual
to go to Berry Hill together. I think.
I know.
Yeah.
I always get a visual, like from a movie, and that movie this time happens to be The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. When he hears the organ music and it's creepy, and he runs out of the house. That's what we kind of thought. He could do that. He could just run. He could just bolt.
Yep.
But he stayed there with us. Yeah, and he didn't.
Yeah.
He stayed
no.
there with us. That was pretty brave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All yeah. right. So after this, what happened? Did you guys? This was a
real
kind of a thing, right?
Real turmoil.
This was
no.
Okay. Well, we keep hearing some background stuff.
Yeah.
But that's because we have so many callers.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I just want to. Hey, Janelle, I think you're having some background talk. If
oh,
you could
here.
I'm going to move.
Oh, okay, hold on. Somebody else has called in. Hello, caller. Hello,
I need
caller.
To correct a few things about this whole story thing going on here.
Okay, wait. Let's introduce this caller. Let's hear from you.
I don't want to say y'all are lying because that wouldn't be right.
This is the infamous Robert Turner.
The infamous. First of all, you know, ain't nobody ever scared me about nothing. Second, I had this very vivid memory of walking up to y'all at Berry Hill, and y'all had very stunned looks. There was silence, and I purposely hugged Danelle so that she wouldn't talk. Which I know is difficult for me.
That's the only way.
And it worked.
Because we didn't know you were going to show up. We were just like all being all devious and, you know, in spy
mode. That's because I'm military. I'm always on the offense.
That's pretty much what he told me.
Now, Danelle, do you have an answer to that?
Which one? I think he knew that I was probably the most skeptical one. So I think he figured out that he was going to have to be nice to me first because I was really protective of her.
Did you think Danelle was the kingpin?
I realized real quick who was in charge because about 30 seconds after Kathleen and I reconnected on Facebook, I got a friend request from my name, Danelle Woody. And I said,
Oh my God. That's right.
I sent a message back to Kathleen and said, I'm friends with Danelle Woody. Who the heck is Danelle Woody?
you will know who she is.
That's right.
And she is the linchpin to your romance.
No. See, what y'all don't realize is that Kathleen spent most of her life in high school trying to seduce me. And
oh, my God. Oh, he's so hilarious right now.
Goodness.
So delirious.
Oh, my goodness.
It's from a man's POV, right?
See, he makes me laugh.
We were just buddies. We were just buddies.
We were.
Okay, now let's hear about it. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Janice.
I was just going to say, see, when Bobby walked in to the restaurant into Berry Hill, he surprised us. We were not supposed to be surprised. He was the one that was supposed to be surprised.
That's right.
We were all there and protecting Kathleen, but he decided to turn it around on us. And so when he came in, and he's this big, tall guy and walking in straight and wow, he was in charge of the room. It was like, okay, well.
He still does that.
Yeah, he does.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
He was a guy.
I guess you got the mojo. So let's hear about this book signing. Let's hear about this infamous book signing. You know, give us the background, Kathleen, and then we want to hear Bobby's side and your side.
I'm going to hang up for a second, and I'm going to call back because I'm hitting this there, so I'm going to find a better spot. Okay.
Okay, Paul. We'll need you back. Okay. So, Kathleen, you tell your side of this book signing story, and then Bobby can tell his side, you know, because coming into the book signing.
Right. Well, I was doing a book signing with Janice and Lena Nelson Dooley at a Mardell in the Dallas area. And, you know, it's just your normal book signing. And I actually didn't see him walk in, although Janice, you might have. I did not see him walk in, but apparently he made quite the entrance.
Was it officer and a gentleman kind of thing?
Yeah. Full uniform with roses.
all different colors because he didn't know which color was my favorite.
Aww.
That's adorable.
Isn't that adorable?
I had forgotten that part, Bobby.
Okay, so were you shocked when you looked up and like, oh, there he is?
Well, I mean, I knew that he was going to come to the book signing. And
okay.
Yes, I was still shocked.
So can I interject?
Please do.
So here's the irony. Kathleen and I had co-authored a book for women who had just gone through divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And if I recall, we were at that bookstore signing that book together for divorced women.
Now that is.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. And so here's my memory of that moment when Bobby walked in. He walks in and he's looking pretty handsome and he's got the roses in his hand. But I wasn't looking at him because I was so surprised, I guess you would say, by this look on her face that I had never seen. And I had known her for years. And it was like she just melted like butter and her eyes, you know that, how we try to describe it in romance novels, how their eyes look when they, you know, see the handsome hero from across the room. Everything I had ever described in a book, I actually saw in her face and in her eyes when she looked at him. So any questions I might have had, and I didn't have many left at that point because I'd already been given the whole rundown from the gals who had gone on the date with them. Any questions I might have had faded immediately when I saw the look on her face, because the minute I saw those eyes look at him, I was like, oh boy, this is it. This is definitely it. If this is not it, we're going to need medication after this.
Now, what about Lena? Lena's teaching her critique group tonight, and she might try and sneak away and call in, but if she doesn't, what was Lena doing?
Talking.
She was driving the wagon. Wasn't she? She felt like she was driving the wagon that day. She was being Danelle. She was the one making sure we're checking him out. I don't know this guy. Somebody had to play Danelle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Oh, she's a mess. So what was your perspective, Robert Turner?
Oh, well, okay. I travel back and forth from Tulsa to Fort Worth a lot with work stuff. So I was coming down there under the guise of working, which I really wasn't, but I was there, yeah. We had planned to meet up and spend some time together. So she didn't know I was going to show up in uniform, but I thought, you know, that's a smooth move. I could do that. Walked in uniform. What she didn't know is I'd spent about an hour prior to walking in there searching all over the place for chocolates and roses and stuff. And then when I got to the roses, because I didn't know what her favorite rose was, because we've been dating about 3.5 minutes, I just bought one of each, you know. So I walk in and I look down there at the table. Kathleen's talking to somebody she was signing the book for. Lena's talking to somebody that behind the desk. Janice is sitting there talking to somebody. Janice looks up, kind of sees me, and gets this look on her face like, okay, he's here. And then Lena looks up and breaks into a big smile. And then all of a sudden Kathleen sees me. She jumps up, runs to me, you know, and it was in slow motion too, which was really weird.
Just like in the
with
movie.
Music?
Just like in the movie.
Yeah, there was violin music and it was slow motion. There was a horse in the background.
And there were hearts in the air and all that.
Yeah. And then she runs up, she hugged me, and we may have kissed right there in the Mardale store right in front of the crosses. I'm not sure about this. It was a
right
holy
there
experience.
In the Mardale.
Right there in the Mardale. But
we got married in the Mardales.
That's right.
So we're mm-hmm. saying hello. She introduces me to Lena. She sits back down to sign some more stuff. And I'm standing off to the side, and then I see her look up and smile at some guy in line.
You know where he's going with this, don't you, Janice?
Oh, yeah.
She said, hi. I said, okay. This is some guy she knows, no big deal. Well, turns out it was her old boyfriend from before we got married.
What timing?
Yeah. He shows up in his shorts and raggedy, preppy T-shirt. And,
it was so raggedy. Be nice.
Were those some usual
not that you were paying attention.
There was nothing good about the guy. Let's put it that way.
Come on.
Well, so he jumps up to say hi. And then after a while, they're talking, and I see her kind of glance over her shoulder at me with a help me look. So I walk up. She introduces me to him. I could tell he maybe had a one or two cases of beer at that point.
Oh, stop it.
He proceeded to ask her right there in front of me why she hadn't married him. And she told him why she hadn't married him.
Well, you couldn't write this stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Then he said,
no.
How soon are you two going to get married? And I just looked at him without hesitation and said, 2 weeks.
I think that's about how long we've been dating, wasn't it?
Yeah. And Kathleen kind of looked at me, and then she just kind of moved over closer to me. And I went, okay, I got this. So, you know, that he went away. Then when the book signing broke up, Janice and Lena asked us where we were going, what we were doing, and I told them it was none of their business.
Not Lena much
checking
change.
On me to the end.
Yep.
Oh, you're bad.
But it was it's
you
great.
Know what I
didn't
think?
Have his perspective. Okay.
You know what I think, Linda? I think
what?
That we're taught in all of these writing conferences how to write the perfect romance scene, and you want to throw in a little comedy, and you want to throw in an antagonist and a protagonist and a handsome hero and the heroine, you know, who's tripping over herself to get to him. The funniest thing about that day was it played out better than any scene that any of us could have written. But at the end of it, I think...
your editor
really
would have thrown that out.
I really think at the end of it, though, we all would have said, nobody, if we turned that into an editor, no editor would have believed that. Mm-mm. They would have kicked it back to us and said, no.
You can try.
You're asking the reader to suspend their disbelief. They're not going to go that far with you.
That's
like
right,
a love
Kim.
Triangle at 50. Give me a break.
That's hilarious.
Bobby,
what did you think of all these nosy women getting up in your business? You
be
know,
kind.
Were you glad we were so protective? Were you glad we were
you
protective?
You say that like it's past tense.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That's true. It's not past tense.
If it ever stops, I'll let you know. It didn't faze me one bit because I knew I could handle all of you.
weren't you glad that we were there, you know, protecting her?
Yeah, it was, you know, but then after y'all did your thing, I started getting messages from people all over the country. We're going to have to check you out. Who are you? What are you? Me and Kathleen, it's our thing. Leave us alone.
We have a very wide group that is very protective.
Yes,
that's true.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
He's popular at writers' conferences now.
Yeah, I didn't realize until I went to the first ACFW conference exactly how well known I was without knowing anybody.
You're welcome.
Okay, so let's talk about. Let's talk about it. Like, you guys got married, you know.
We did.
And then we had a, tell us about that, and then we'll talk about the reception that we had for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, dear, do you want to tell them, or shall we eloped?
Well,
actually.
Yeah, I was deployed for a while to Hawaii. Tough duty.
It was rough.
Yeah. Was rough. Oh, somebody's going to do it.
And you know, I said, hey, you know, it'd be nice if you came here, but I've got no money to pay for you. So if you got some money or some flying hours, you know, get yourself over here. No, we talked about getting married and everything. We just didn't have a plan at that point. And then we thought, you know, this could work. We could do this. And so she got on a plane, came over after I'd been there about a week. And I put her up in officer's quarters where I was.
At Pearl Harbor.
At Pearl Harbor. She was on deadline for a book, which was called the...
Of course she was.
Yeah.
It was The Inconvenient Marriage of Charlotte Beck.
Oh!
Yeah.
He got to meet my editor at conference this year, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I told her that her editing was inconvenient to my marriage.
Yes.
But we got over there, and because I was in charge over there, I had a little free time to myself when things were going on. So we went and got our marriage license. I had to do it twice because the lady fussed at me because my handwriting was so bad.
Atrocious, I believe, was her word. I've never seen anybody had to do that, but apparently he did.
Never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I found
that was atrocious.
An idyllic spot to get married at. It was what dreams and puppies are made out of.
Yeah.
It was the office of an apartment building. Office of an apartment building with a fax machine going off during the ceremony and a dead plant as our backdrop.
We still have that photo. It's awesome.
Yeah, and the photo is also out of focus, which makes it even better.
Yes. Taken by the licensed minister who managed to mention rainbows in the service.
And
we promised
really
something about rainbows.
Yeah,
but no unicorn.
Really say that we were man and wife or anything like that. We had to promise to be best friends forever.
So I'm not sure what we are actually, babe. We might not be married.
But there was a certificate.
We might be best buddies. Right?
Well, here's a little bit of background on that too. What was going on our side over here in the mainland while Kathleen was off cavorting with Bobby in Hawaii,
there's some quality cavorting.
We didn't know the wedding part was coming. That was kind of a shock to us.
We figured we'd make everybody mad at once.
Yes, and so this is what we were saying though. Wouldn't it be something if Kathleen came home married? No, that's not gonna happen.
Yes, it's so true. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Kathleen came back married.
Well, we try. You know, we have 11 children between us, and trying to get 11 kids who live in three states in a foreign country to one place at one time, it give you a headache just to try to figure it out. So we just figured
you can't even get the ones that live in Houston together at the same time.
It's true.
So you two went off and got hitched.
if we couldn't get all of our kids in one place, nobody knew but us until after. And then we told our kids, and then we told everybody else. Because we were like, you know, if we can't do it with everybody there, then we would just get married and then, you know, let everybody be mad at us.
Well,
you need to tell them what your first moment of panic was after we get married.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. So if Crystal Barnes is listening, I just shared this story at ACFW. So we just gotten married, and we, you know, the fax machine had gone off. Everything got signed off, and we left. Went to the beach for a little while, hang out with the turtles. It was amazing. And then it was lunchtime because my husband didn't want to get married at 10:10:10 at 10. I mean, I thought that would have been really cool. No, he wanted to get married 10:09:10 at 9 a.m. So we got up at the crack of dawn to go get married. So anyway, it was lunchtime, and we went to a Mexican restaurant, go figure, in Hawaii.
And we're sitting at the table, and I'm looking at, they bring the chips, as they do in Mexican restaurants, and I had this moment of clarity, because you've got to understand, we reconnected in, what, like the end of July, end of June, and here this was, yeah, and here this was the second week in October, barely. So I had this moment, and I looked at the chips, and I looked at him, and I realized I had just married a man, and I did not know if he liked salt on his tortilla chips. I had no idea. Yeah, that was a moment.
That could be a deal breaker.
I know. I know, but he does, so it's fine. It worked out.
Okay.
That was a moment of a potential moment of crisis in our very young marriage of 2 hours or whatever it was.
Well,
yeah,
see,
it worked out.
I thought you guys would be eating at a local establishment having Spam, because we all know Hawaiians are fond of their Spam. And listening
I think
to
we
Chinese
did go have.
Or something.
Yeah, we did that once.
We did this one place, right? That was not all that great. But yeah, we did have one local meal, and the rest we kind of avoided the Spam. Yeah. Because it's Spam with rice, you know. They serve it with rice. Mm.
Mm.
Oh, yummy.
Lots of rice. Mm. Yeah.
Boy. Okay, so when you got back, of course, we were all happy for you. We were overjoyed, and we decided that we would hold
after
a reception. Now, you guys, let's talk about that, Sharon and Janice. They'll never be able to come back, so let's talk it up.
Do you want to start, Sharon, or do you want me to?
You go ahead. I'll tag on after you.
Okay. So I still remember when I found out that they had actually gotten married, and I think I was after the kids, I was pretty close to the first to know.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I wanted every detail. And I said, well, when you get back, since you did this without us, you get back, we have to have at least one moment of celebration where we can all get together with the people who love you, get friends, mm-hmm. get family, get people from church. Anybody who loves the two of you should gather together in one place. And so we rented a room at our church at Woods Edge, and it was a Hawaiian themed reception. And I love a good themed party. So I said, okay, I'll make the cake. I was pretty new at making cakes at that point, but I'm like, I'm going to make this multi-tiered Hawaiian themed cake. And I remember bringing it in pieces and trying to stack it up and then stick all these silk flowers all over it to make it look like it was Hawaiian. But maybe a little overkill. But it was so fun to look around that room, because we had people in that room that night who had been in our divorce care class, people who had been through the mm-hmm. grieving process together.
Mm-hmm.
To see one of our own have a celebration was just very sweet, you know, because we had seen mm-hmm. the other side of it, and now we're seeing what God can do on the opposite side of it. And we were in the very same room where we had our divorce care classes. So it was just, I don't know, to me it was very significant. And we had mm-hmm. friends come. Lena and her husband, James, came from Dallas-Fort Worth area and stayed at my house. I remember this. They came and spent the night at my house so that they could be there for this celebration. Mm-hmm. That's how strongly she felt about this.
Wonderful.
So
we
had a room full of people. We had a big party. And it was, to me, just like any fabulous wedding reception should be.
Oh, it was amazing. And just... overwhelming how awesome it was and how sweet you guys were, and just pulling it off. Yeah, I'm speechless.
The thing I remember most is the cake.
What, Bobby?
I said the thing I remember most is that the cake was good.
Not much has changed.
I got kind of overwhelmed by all the people. It's like I felt like I didn't meet 90% of them. You know, there were so many people there, and I had no clue who anybody was.
I think Bobby, that you just had eyes for your bride, and that was why. You didn't quite remember. And do you remember going in there? We decorated a bit before Kathleen and Bobby came. You know, we got the cake all set up and everything. And then, yes, the cake was delicious. It always is when Janice makes it. I just remember getting, I think I was in charge of the punch that night. So I was getting the punch ready or something. And so, because I think there's a picture of me doing something, I don't know what I was doing, something decorative, who knows. But I think that we were all still in sort of a state of shock. We knew Kathleen was married, and we knew that she was loved dearly by this man, Bobby, and that she felt equally loving toward him.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really get a chance to know him because he was in Oklahoma. And so we were just kind of shocked and sort of wondering, okay, how are we going to get to know this guy? Because he's going to whisk her off to Oklahoma, which none of us were happy about.
It was about her, not about you.
Yes, it's all about Kathleen, and we just were devastated that he was going to be taking her away, but we did tell him that he was going to have to bring her back, and
Del prophesied about that.
Yes.
Was it a threat or a prophecy? I'm not sure. It was both, I think.
I think so. Did you guys tell them about the husband ministry, though?
Oh, yes. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Well, you tell them. It's your husband ministry.
You had a husband ministry.
Been praying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. We had been praying, you know, and we're still praying for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lord,
yeah. I should.
Coming.
Might be the time I have to sign off. I wasn't cooperating either, Janice. I just told them, y'all just make yourselves happy and do your little thing and, you know, whatever.
That's right. We were.
Whatever.
Okay, so
amuse yourself.
You did. Okay. Oh, hold on. Somebody else is here. Okay, wait. Danelle is back. Danelle. Okay. Now, we want to hear about your threat or prophecy concerning Kathleen going to Oklahoma. Let's hear that.
Okay, wait, hold on. I'm going to walk to the car. Hold on a minute. What did you just say so I can hear?
Okay.
What did you say?
You know, like, you issued a threat to Bobby about taking Kathleen to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And coming back.
I knew when I saw him, I thought this is bad. This is going to go bad. Because I knew he was a good guy.
Bad for her, not bad for me.
Yeah. No,
that's right.
Yeah. Because bad for us, not bad for her. Because I'm like, okay. Because I had already been on his Facebook, and I knew he had several kids and some grandkids. And I'm like, dang, you know, she could move. So I told him, you know, because I basically said, you can't take her away. And if you do,
and Bobby said, yes, I can.
You have to bring her back. So he didn't really say no. You know, he kind of led me on, I think, a little bit. But you
Bobby,
know,
do you have anything to say about that?
I told her I had a job, and that's where we were going. So.
Something about the government, the court martial, I think, came up too.
Yeah. I didn't want to spend my honeymoon in prison.
That's true.
Which makes sense.
You bring her back. So now that you're here, you know that's the deal on the table. You have to stay. So
I brought her back.
Talk about you moved back here. You did. You moved back here, but first you stopped off in College Station. But
yeah,
we won't talk about that. That was
gradual reentry. We had
a gradual
reentry.
It was like a trampoline jump away, and now you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love
back in the woodlands. Yeah, back in the woodlands, yeah. Texas, yes. Which is a perfect little bubble of a place to live.
It is. We are back in the bubble.
And yes. We've been good too, Bobby, right? You have to admit, we have been good. We haven't been at your house, nothing on the floor. We've given you lots of space. And I think that time's almost up.
That's because we moved to a place that has security, and I made sure of that.
I
think they're still trying to get badges so they can get into the building.
That's right. Danelle, has that worked out for you yet, Danelle?
No. Well, you know, I'm kind of letting him think that I don't have one so that he can catch him off
guard. That's why I bought the building, so nobody could do that.
Even if they got in, I'm not sure they could find our apartment. You know, they can't find the parking garage.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Danelle still has to found that bridge that goes across the road.
For the last 5 minutes, we would take a little romance quiz here. You mentioned, Bobby, that you brought all these different colored roses to the book signing. Because you didn't know Kathleen's favorite color rose. So what is her favorite color of rose?
Yellow.
Yellow.
Absolutely.
Rose, right? Yes. Yep. Yep. Okay. Now, what kind of candy does she like?
Well, she likes a lot of different kind of candies, but probably her favorite is Reese Cup.
Yeah. Well, I haven't met Candy. Yep. I don't like. But anyway, and her favorite music, you know, or romantic music.
Well, she's really bad, really into gangster rap. But
Lord.
You still make me laugh.
You find things out. Was that a deal breaker for you?
Yeah, I'm a classical music kind of guy. She likes a pretty wide range. She likes country. She likes Christian music. She's a big Crowder fan.
Yeah. How about Lucinda Williams?
Oh yeah.
Sure. I don't know who that is, but sure.
Oh gosh.
Okay. All right, so, you know, so you've come to know her favorite flower now and, you know, her candy like. Now, what about you, Kathleen? Now, what kind of candy does Bobby like?
Oh, he likes Reese's, too. But he also likes all sorts of candy. That's our road snack occasionally. It's not specifically a candy, but I do know that he was extremely excited when we got to Quick Trip. In south of Dallas, and there were donuts there. Really excited
they're,
about
they're
that.
They're horrible donuts, but they're like crack.
But it's better than nothing.
There you go.
Well, you know, this has been, we're almost out of time. We have like 3 minutes left, and I just wanted to find out if anybody had some last thoughts, you know, well wishes or whatever. I'll start. It's been such an honor just to be a part of this and to see you guys get together. So sweet. And I think it's unique that we're documenting this, you know, our thoughts on it. It's like a little bit of family history for you guys. Friends history. Okay, yeah. So jump in, you guys. Well, we've got 2 minutes.
I have a couple of thoughts here. And primarily that God is in the business of redeeming and taking broken things and making beautiful things out of things that were once broken. And to see Kathleen from the various stages and valleys that I had walked through with her, and to see how she could have been so broken at one point and so wounded even at one point, and to see that God would use somebody to heal those broken places, and not just heal her, but to bring new joy and new life and new excitement. It's just been very promising for me to watch all of
this.
It's been a very good day.
That's awesome.
I'm going to say,
I'm going to tag on to that because I feel like that when I met Kathleen in 2003, there was a deep grieving that was still going on, and she was, like Janice said, there was a lot of brokenness there, and to watch her walk through the process of healing and coming into her own and doing things herself and doing them well, watching her raise her children. And I was so proud of her. And to watch that whole thing culminate and go, just this gentle climb up the ladder, and then for her to get to the top rung finally and to meet this man that walked into her life, and such a God thing. And I think it's beautiful that she and Bobby found each other again after all those years.
Okay, we're a little over, but Danelle, I'm going to let you have the last word, Danelle, so you can say something.
They were very sweet. That was very sweet. All those things, I agree with it. I think it's a beautiful story, and it's just beautiful to see what God has done. But Bobby, just keep taking good care of her, and everything's going to be great. He's doing a good job so far.
I'm going to end the show. I'm going to end the show now with this encouragement that love stories do happen in real life, and so we're
even when you don't think they're going to, and you never expect it. God is so creative.
And you actively fight against them.
Yes, that's true. That is
played a song. The Broken Road.
We're
song.
So blessed. So I'm putting the song on now, and thank you guys for being on the Along Came a Writer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.